You're listening to Drake in the Morning with Wes and Sid on 98.1 The Max.
You know, staying healthy, being healthy, doesn't seem to deter this stuff. It's a strain. The flu shot didn't work. They allege that it made it easier to deal with. As somebody who is, you know, usually pretty healthy, you know, allergies are going to always affect us. They just kick my ass every spring and every fall. But that's you know, that you can handle. All of a sudden, it turns into something else, and man, that's misery. So we feel your pain, and we on the Facebook page, the stuff that I was told about and looked into and bought and used truly works. Now, this is after, and like everybody else out there, you put this off as long as you can to avoid going to the doctor and getting pills or calling your doctor, getting antibiotics. I had that. I had cough syrup. An inhaler, because you can't breathe, and all that stuff that goes along with this. What makes it even more confusing is that there's a similar kind of virus that is running parallel to the real flu that isn't the flu. It's some kind of a you know, virus that carries the same symptoms, but it's not the flu. So antibiotics, I guess in theory, won't kill it. Very confusing. There's lots of bacteria and strains, and the bacteria is getting more intense and meaner and wants to kill us all. But this stuff that we found, we found it online, and Sid did some research, and it's a long word, OSCILLOCOCCINUM, or for short, OSCILLO. It is a homeopathic compound, what some folks roll their eyes at. Well, knock yourself out. This stuff works. I got some. A buddy of mine said, this works. So it's at vitamin stores. The Walgreens and drug stores can't keep it in stock. Amazon likely is having to restock it all the time. It comes in these little vials, 6 per box, 3 for each day. And after a day and a half or 2 days, you truly can feel the difference. You feel better. Some of the stuff in your chest kind of comes up and out, and it's a good thing. Try it. It's on our Facebook page, and you can order it online or check vitamin stores or elsewhere. Today at drakeinthemorning.com, as like every other day, Wesley puts up entertaining things to pass the time and to play with. Today is no exception. What do you have there, sir?
We had a slideshow put together by the readers of crack.com on ways the U.S. movies were changed for other countries, mostly just the titles, but like Home Alone is retitled Mom, I Missed the Plane, and Mom, I Missed the Plane Again, just to give you an example.
And yesterday you told me one that was pretty great, and I love that movie with Jack Nicholson.
The movie As Good as It Gets is retitled Mr. Cat Poop in China.
I don't know, that's really strange. That was on last night. What a great movie. And Greg Kinnear is really an underrated actor. He is really good. He's going to be, he'll be joining the cast of House of Cards because Kevin Spacey is gone. And so Greg Kinnear is coming into that show. And who is the female they were going to add to the cast? I can't recall, but that's coming up. But yeah, he was great in that movie. He and Helen Hunt, best thing she ever did. Great, great movie. And that little dog, Verdell, was very sweet. Now back to you.
That's fine. Nice. Another slideshow of people is put together having a worse day than you probably are having, so it could be worse. And a short video that's taking a look at the spike of the 80s culture in today's pop culture.
Like what?
Like Stranger Things being set in the 80s.
That's so right.
Right now
it is.
How there's a lot being borrowed from the 80s for to, you know, pop things today.
That's right. That is 80s. There's no cell phones.
Right.
Which would have come in handy.
That would have changed the entire story.
Yeah. But that's something else. Gillian Anderson was the star of The X-Files. Many of you love that show. It was on what? Was it back in the 90s?
It was a 90s thing.
It was she and David Duchovny. And I watched it some. I just don't really gravitate toward things like that. But they were good, and it was interesting for a while, but I lost interest, like I do in most things like that. But then they came back 2 years ago.
They did a mini series.
And they've done it twice. I bring her up only because of Netflix, once again, and the incredible things that they churn out. There is a show on there called The Fall, and they don't call them seasons. They call them series, and there are three of them. And each of the series contains 6 or 7 different hour-long episodes. This is set in Belfast, Ireland. And she is the star of it. She is the lead detective, top cop, investigative genius in search of a serial killer of women. This is one of the most intelligent and complex and cerebral things I've ever seen. And I keep watching these shows on Netflix, and they just seem to get better and better. Ozark was my first one, and that just blew me away. And I've watched, I don't know how many since then. This one is just incredible. And there are 3 seasons. I don't know. This is probably 2 or 3 years old. But she is so good in this and is so unlike. Was she Scully or Mulder or Mulder or whatever the hell she was? In this, she's not. She's British, I think. And she nails the accent. It's not, bad or... But it's just a smart, thoughtful show, well, about killing people and how they're trying to catch this guy. And it's a real mind game, but boy, if you're in search of something to watch and don't care about football, it's called The Fall. And it's her and the actor that plays the killer, the co-star, his name is Ben something. And I think he is truly Irish. But it's all shot in Belfast and a beautiful city. But boy, it's a city. It is edge of your seat stuff, and you don't know what's going to happen next, and you cannot figure out any of it. There's no way to go, oh, I see this coming. You don't. It's really good. So try that one. And there's so many other things on there to watch. If you like Seinfeld and watched all of the comedians in cars. The special that was up for an award at the Grammys is on there. It's called Seinfeld Before Seinfeld, I think. And it's Jerry in his early days of doing stand-up. Really good. So there's a ton of stuff on there, so you can find numerous things to watch. As far as the Super Bowl, they have completely, because of social media, they have ruined the concept, which was a bit goofy to begin with, that people watch the game to see the commercials. I never understood that. These companies that advertise on television 12 months out of the year are doing their best all the time to produce efficient, effective TV spots that get your attention and make you buy their stuff. So the theory that they are working and spending all this money to do something really special that will run during a football game, and then they run after the games, obviously, was always kind of odd to me. That they should always be doing their, best work. But they got it into our brains that you got to watch the game to see all these great commercials. And sometimes they're good, but the hype has killed it because they rarely are as good as they, might be or as they're hyped up to be.
Like most things,
it's just too good to be true, and well, then it probably is. And they put stars in there, and they get cute. And I heard someone say yesterday that many of these ad agencies start making these spots a week after the game ends. They begin to prep for the next game a year later. Really? I can't think of any of these things that are that memorable that have hung in my mind for 50-something years. But how long has this phenomenon been a phenomenon? 25 years?
I don't know. Yeah, it seems like it was the late 80s when I started first hearing about people wanting to watch it for the spots instead of for the game proper.
And it wasn't just people that weren't into football or, the chicks. It was everybody that wanted to watch these commercials. And it's on. And it's a spot for a car.
Yeah, but I guess...
Who cares?
If it's... particularly clever, I guess. They wanted, the ad agencies wanted to have this chance to make a big buzz about their brand.
Yeah.
And that's why they, I suppose, pour so many resources into it.
I guess, but in this day and time, a network TV and even cable TV is not getting watched like it used to. They ought to be putting their attention into this all the time, because people do not watch commercials. They record their shows and they fast forward through it, which is not what TV execs want to hear, but they know it's true. And there's going to have to be some kind of a paradigm shift, as they say, in how people continue to brand themselves and advertise their product. But anyway, this Sunday, the point of my this is that these commercials are pretty much already on the internet.
Yes,
they're everywhere, so there's no surprise on Sunday. So thank you again, social media, for effing up everything.
It's not just social media. It's the companies themselves.
Yeah, that's true. They just plant them out there. Steven Tyler, who has tried everything. He was going to be a country music star. Didn't work out. I don't know what he hasn't tried. He just play with Aerosmith and then retire. Steve's in a new commercial on Sunday for Kia. The ad will have him driving a Kia Stinger as he turns back time by throwing the car in reverse and burning rubber around a track while Dream On plays. Gosh, I haven't heard Dream On in so long. I can't wait. So that's going to be on. We just rhymed that one. Will we get a sneak peek of Han Solo's Star Wars movie? That's the new one. Is Han Solo the name of the film?
Yes, or Solo is what it's called, I think.
It's called Solo, and it's more nerdage for the Star Trek people.
Yes, exactly, because the Star Trek people are really, really into
I can't keep up. That was Harrison Ford, right?
Yeah.
Is he going to play himself in it when he's 80 years old?
No.
Okay.
Done with the character.
Is it a prequel?
Yes.
Okay. So is it? It's another actor, not him.
That is correct. Right. That's what I meant when I said Harrison Ford's not playing him.
I see.
Okay.
Ron Howard, who directs the movie, tweeted out, back in the hash brown Solo editing rooms now, BTW. That means, by the way, who's going to win the big game or some babble? That led to somebody believing that the trailer will air during the game. However, those in the know say that this thing will not run. The trailer will debut Monday on Good Morning America. So there's the mystery. Will it be on during the game or be on Monday morning? Well, if you're the brander of that and want it to be seen, where would you put it? Both. On the Super Bowl. Not on the freaking Good Morning America show Monday, when everybody's still drunk and hungover and not watching TV.
It's not going to matter. If they do it on the Super Bowl or if they do it on Good Morning America the next day, either way, it's going to be online 10 minutes later, and that's where people are going to watch it.
Exactly.
Again.
Yeah. It'll be retweeted and tweeted and twatted and Instagrammed and whatever. This has been a big week for really bad ideas from Hollywood and the world of television. This is increasingly an indication of desperate times calling for desperate measures. This week and last, we had the unveiling of plans to bring back Murphy Brown, for God's sake. Candace Bergen was in that show. It wasn't that big of a hit. I mean, it was popular. It was different. The show about the media, it was smart and cute and sarcastic, and I don't know. I was never that into it. But they're going to bring this back 20 years after the fact, or maybe even more. And then there was the one about bringing back The Greatest American Hero for some reason, and then Charmed, which was never a hit anyway, and is aimed at kids on some other network. Now they're just getting dumb. Fox has ordered a TV pilot for Gone Baby Gone. Now this book is one of the books. This book was on the bestseller list. I read this book. I know it's been 5 years ago. the authoress, her name escapes me now. She had a book before this that was called Sharp Places, if I'm not mistaken. And it was incredible. And that was being made into a movie too, but I never heard anything else about it. And then she wrote Gone Baby Gone. And this thing was a hit week after week after week. Then the movie came out, and it was Ben Affleck, and the actress's name escapes me because she wasn't a star. The movie was okay and did well. Now Fox has ordered a TV pilot for Gone Baby Gone. Do we really need to do this? The movie, was it Casey Affleck? No, it was not Casey. It was Ben Affleck.
Casey Affleck and Michelle Monaghan were the stars. It was directed by Ben Affleck.
Okay, so Ben, Affleck wasn't in it. It was Casey Affleck. Are you sure?
That's what it says here.
Okay.
Written by Dennis Lehane.
No, Dennis Lehane did not write Gone Baby Gone.
That's what Amazon says.
It's what it says here.
Then what am I thinking of? Gone Baby Gone.
A detective story?
What is the one? Well, maybe I'm thinking of the wrong book. What was the book? The girl, lady, she disappears and fakes her death.
Oh, yeah. And it was so good. Yeah, I don't know.
But isn't it?
I have to look it up.
Gone Girl.
Gone Girl.
Okay.
That's why I'm confused. Okay. So Gone Girl was the book. Dennis Lehane did write a book called Gone Baby Gone. Okay. That's on me. My bad. Anyway, a TV pilot for this film doesn't, we don't need that. And that movie was really good. So Casey Affleck was in that one, and now this will center on two detectives who try to settle some scores for clients in Boston. This was set in Boston and was a really, really good film. And Casey Affleck was great. Gone Girl is the book that was out forever as a hit some years back.
And Ben was in that one.
So there's your confusion, or confusion, these damn Affleck brothers. Gone Girl, Gone Baby Gone, whatever the heck it is. So that one is going to be on TV unnecessarily. They're going to bring back, and do we need this? Martin Lawrence. Is he still relevant? Or did he ruin his life by playing a big fat black woman too many times? That was not funny. He and his sitcom co-stars were spotted having lunch in Burbank yesterday. Oh my. Now it's out that they're going to do a reboot of the show. Don't need it. It's been off the air for 22 years. And they may bring it back. I don't know why. There's no point. Martin.
Oh, okay.
His not funny comedy sitcom.
Boy, that made a big splash with me, obviously.
Yeah, yeah, you were on that one. I don't know. But they're just desperate trying to find something new because there are no new ideas. It's unfortunate. Comic book fans... have a good thought, say a prayer for Stan Lee. He's a remarkable man who was the creator of, how far back does he go? What did he first do?
He first started working in the comics in the Golden Age, the World War II era of comics.
Yeah.
And he was involved with the guys who created Captain America. And then he and Jack Kirby, one of those guys, helped save Marvel and turn it around in the early 60s by creating all of the big Marvel heroes that are still around today.
Well, we met him somewhere, and my kids were just enamored of him. And he signed a picture for them, and a really, really sweet guy. He is ill in L.A. He was suffering from shortness of breath and a lack of interest in life. He's 95 years old. His heartbeat was messed up. He's 95 and would probably rather just go on someplace else, but he has to watch the big game first. So hang in there, Stan Lee. You're a legend to many, many people.
Yeah, I don't know. The way he seems to still enjoy talking about all of this stuff.
Yeah,
I
think he's way into it.
He's not bored with life at all.
He has stayed busy and had his hands in so many things and offered his advice and counsel on a bunch of this stuff. And he's a very, very sharp dude. The film Paradox, never heard of this or about this. It stars Neil Young, Willie Nelson, Willie's sons, who play in his band, and members of his backing band called Promise of the Real, makes its debut at South by Southwest in March. The film, directed by Daryl Hannah, who is Neil Young's girlfriend, this reeks of trouble, and is described as a far-fetched, whimsical Western tale of music and love, reeking of more trouble. So we'll see how.
It's like a Western musical.
Sounds like it's gonna. Well, let's not judge, shall we? Let's just see how bad it sucks, and then we'll talk about.
Okay.
It. We'll do a break and come back and hear from the Right Rev, his commentary. 8:30, we'll discuss a new book coming out in the spring with a man who is from Memphis. Many of you know the name John Scott from his radio days in the 60s and 70s at FM 100 before back in the days of FM progressive rock radio. It was a very, very, very famous station, and John was part of that, and then he went to Los Angeles, and without him, there might not ever have been a rock star named Tom Petty, and that's a fact. And we will talk to John about his new book coming out and how he got involved with TP and some funny stories. It was a sad time for all of us when that went down. Those of us that worked with him and knew him, and John did for 40 years. He was one of the few people that was at the service at the end. We might discuss that. We might not. I don't know. It was rough on everybody out there, but it is still. And it's also was hard on the fans of that band that loved that music so much. It meant a lot to a lot of people. So when Tom passed, it was rough, and it's still rough. But John's going to do a book of his memories and stories, and he's got some great ones about Tom Petty and how they got together, and the circumstances are really unbelievable when you hear how this just kind of came together and how hard that John worked to save this guy's career, because it almost tanked before it even got started. But John Scott pulled it out of the ditch and put Tom Petty on the road to being one of the most enduring and loved American rock stars, rock bands ever. That's about 8:30. The Right Rev coming up next. Harry's.com is your place to go to get these great razors from Harry's. They're taking over the world of shaving. Most men shave, and I guess that these things could be used by anybody, by ladies, by gentlemen, by whomever. A new concept in shaving, the close to comfortable shave, is a new way of doing it. The handle fits in your hand very nicely. It's designed to do that. Ergonomic is how they describe it. The blades on top are five of these blades that are really, really smooth shavers. A trimmer blade on top for your eyebrows or for your man grooming of your nose hair and stuff like that. The shave gel, the blade cover, all of that can be yours in the free trial set. You just pay the shipping. Go to harrys.com. The code word is Drake. And you could get also the post-shave balm for after your great shave with the Harry's razors. Harrys.com. Code is Drake. Put it in there and you can enjoy the shave you will get. Harrys.com. Back in a moment.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.
Yo Gotti is a Fraser born and bred rapper who started out as a dope dealer, but soon released independently produced rap tapes, which found a huge audience among young people. He recently signed a multi-million dollar deal with Jay-Z's management company, Roc Nation. If you live in Memphis and you have absolutely no idea what or who I'm talking about, allow me to respectfully introduce you to a concept known as cultural competence, which means the ability to understand, communicate with, and effectively interact with people across cultures. Memphis is 65% black, and a lot of the people you come in contact with and maybe even try to avoid every day just might be listening to Yo Gotti or somebody like him on their headphones. It doesn't hurt to try to understand where they're coming from. Last week, a billboard with Yo Gotti's picture and the logo of Shelby County Schools on it was put up in South Memphis. It read simply, "Product of public schools, Yo Gotti." but within 36 hours it was taken down, reportedly because of the controversy it stirred due to the content of much of his music. Some people object to a gangster rapper whose lyrics are often vulgar and incendiary being highlighted as a, quote, role model in association with our school system. In the larger scheme of things, who gives a flying finger of fallopian fish food whether the content of Gotti's songs are wholesome? I don't give a rat's rectum. Why would we not try to motivate the poorest of the poor of our children to do whatever it takes to get out of poverty? And the fact that our school board has no official comment really gets my goat. The content of Yo Gotti's lyrics got him and his children out of poverty. After all, isn't that the ultimate goal of education? For anyone to criticize his content while ignoring the moral poverty of the Shelby County School Board as they blithely preside over an underperforming school system is the height of hubris and hatred, in my opinion. And let's throw hypocrisy in there, too, considering that public school product Elvis Presley died with a drug addiction reportedly while sitting on the toilet, yet he's the most revered Memphian in history. I'm Kenneth Whalum Jr., and this has been Keeping It Real with the Right Rev. Follow me on Twitter at K Whalum, and let's talk about it some more.
The method he chose to create his art, well, everybody has their own vision of what art is, and you can't really criticize. Well, you can criticize, but it's a little bit empty, and it is hypocrisy at its highest. And it's hard to define what art is sometimes anymore. And his is certainly different than, let's say, Bruno Mars. Or is it? Some of the lyrics, I went and looked up some of the songs, and I thought it was pretty unnecessary. But I don't know that really is the point.
Yeah, well, absolutely. And, you know, a person like me, I'm always looking underneath the veneer. And I'm saying if you are a Yo Gotti hater, a rapper hater, you could see him as a cautionary tale. The billboards don't say, be like Yo Gotti. The billboards simply say he's a product of public schools. And that could mean don't be like Yo Gotti.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So
yeah.
Who gives a...
Yeah, it did certainly stir up some discussion. And that's good, I suppose. But great points. And there are always two sides. In this case, three or four sides to every story.
Well, absolutely. Well, and Elvis has his own boulevard.
Yeah, and I saw somebody else make the point that it's easy, and the people that were the quickest to criticize Yo Gotti have forgotten the Elvis Presley saga. Just because it was all those years ago doesn't change the fact that the guy was a real bad drug addict and died trying to poop. His heart blew up. let's
that
face
is
the fact.
On the actual medical examiner's report, by the way.
Died trying to poop.
I know it.
Yeah. And there you have it.
Well, speaking of Bruno Mars, though, you know, this is not the first time the school system has done billboards. They had Cameron on a billboard when Cameron was in high school at Overton, and it was a billboard of Cameron, speaking of Bruno Mars.
Cameron is your son.
Yeah. It had him playing a trombone, and it said Grammy bound. That was 10 years ago.
Wow.
And look what happened.
And I guess that Bruno and the band were tickled. They were surprised, I think, to go 6 for 6. I was surprised as heck at that. I think it was a real, I don't want to say it was obvious, but to completely ignore Jay-Z based upon what the man's image is, perhaps, and what his lyric content is, and that Bruno is safer and more homogenous and more wholesome and cute. He won everything. Jay-Z won nothing.
Yeah.
And a Lamar won 2 in the rap category. So the Grammy powers that be, I'm guessing, are a bunch of old white dudes trying to protect the image of the Grammys. And didn't want to give Jay-Z anything because Bruno's a lot cuter and safer.
Well, I think when you hear what Bruno said in his acceptance speeches, whatever you call them, I think the climate of the country really wants what Bruno said. I just want to make music to make people feel good,
and
to make people smile and dance.
And
I think maybe that had something to do with it.
Maybe it did, because his music is much lighter and more fun and does not get philosophical and get, you know, racial and such. And that may be how they wanted to go with it. Well, they certainly did, and going 6 for 6 ain't bad, but Jay-Z going 0 for 8 also speaks.
That's a surprise, absolutely.
Yeah, that's, you know, I'm no, you know, huge fan of his, but the man has had an impact on society and music and culture in general, and to ignore him so obviously, I thought was a little bit strange.
Well, speaking of somebody who overcame being a drug dealer and moved into the upper echelons of multi-billionaireism,
And then he married Kim Kardashian, everything's great.
See, there you go. There's all the stereotypes, man. Why don't you stop it?
Can't you stop it? I've got to goad you a little bit.
But what surprised me, though, was Bruno going to the R&B category. Wow.
Remember when we couldn't get the song played on black radio?
Yes, I remember.
Uptown Funk, they wouldn't play it.
I'll never let Memphis forget it. Memphis radio will never forget it if I have anything to do.
Uptown Funk, they wouldn't play Bruno. He wasn't black enough. Really? So I had to do it?
The blackest DJ in Memphis radio.
Because I'm the blackest guy in town. Thank you, my friend.
Peace.
We'll see you next time. Back with our friend John Scott, his new book about Tom Petty, and some great stories after this.
Email us anytime at mail@drakeinthemorning.com.